With all the noise in the world, do you hear the voice of God? Your calendar tells you what to do, but do you remember who you are? Being comes before doing. This is a call to put first things first. Return to the Lord with this daily pattern of prayer and devotion. Set aside this time as a sanctuary. Find a space free of distraction and follow this pattern.
Welcome to the Daily Pattern. If you've been around at all, you know that we've taken a little bit of a break from production over the summer. We've been doing reruns in the summer season, but now it's fall, and we're starting a new series with new content we're excited about. We're starting a series called Reopening the Bible. As everybody's talking about reopening in society, how do we reopen? When do we reopen? What does that look like? Business, school, travel, sports, workplaces. We want to ask, though, before we go back to normal, whatever that is, we want to ask, have we learned anything? Before we reopen again, are we doing it faithfully? We want to return to God's Word as the foundation for any reopening. And so in this Reopening the Bible series, we're going to look at six key biblical events that have always defined God's people. Things like creation, covenant, the Exodus. We want to look at these major texts in Scripture, and the meditations will follow those and comment on those, and we pray that you're blessed as you reopen God's Word and build your life around it.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord, your scars are your trophies, proof of your unfailing love for me. I am haunted by the guilt of my past, the sins of my present, and my fear of the future. Lord, at the cross you said, "It is finished." So I stop my worry. I rest in you. You have done it all. Amen.
The Confession. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Lord, forgive my fugitive ways. I turn and I run from you. Forgive my criminal acts of hypocrisy and self-righteousness. Forgive my violations of arrogance and selfishness. Forgive me for denying you, ignoring you, disregarding you. I am the one at fault. I have no other help but to turn my face to you and plead with the thief on the cross, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.
Amen. Our word today comes from Luke chapter 23, verses 42 and 43. And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Our meditation today was written by Megan Rogner. My 3-year-old, Benny, recently attended his first preschool chapel service. It made a pretty big impression on him. We talked quite a bit about Chapelton, as he calls it, in the past couple of weeks. Pastor Jeff talked to the kids about how Jesus died on the cross, and Benny's attention was captured by the image of Jesus stumbling under the weight of the cross on the long walk to Calvary. Last weekend, as Benny and I were talking about Jesus dying on the cross, once again, I said something about Jesus dying and rising from the grave so that we could be with him in heaven after we die. Benny looked at me in shock. "We're going to die?" Yes, I said, realizing that up until this point, he had thought that death was something only Jesus experienced, and I started regretting my choice of words. "Even Benjamin?" he asked. When I replied yes, that he would die one day, he audibly gasped. He ran downstairs to tell his dad, with wide eyes, "I'm going to die!" The next morning, during Jesus' time at church, he turned to our friend and told her gravely, "I'm going to die." To try and reassure Benny, I talked more about heaven and about being with Jesus after death. I was a little confused when he kept asking if we were going to be with Kevin when we died. Kevin is our neighbor, and though we're cordial, I didn't think that Benny was close enough to him to be concerned about whether or not we'd be spending eternity together. Soon I realized that when I said go to heaven, Benny heard, "Go to Kevin." Once we got that straightened out, Benny had more concerns. He didn't want to live anywhere besides our home, so an afterlife in heaven didn't seem like a consolation for death. Fortunately, his godfather, Pastor Bobby, visited that evening, and over a plate of dino nuggets, Benny was reassured that heaven would be even better than our house. There's really nothing like a 3-year-old's existential crisis to make you confront your own lack of knowledge and understanding about death and the afterlife. It's easy to say the words of the Nicene Creed. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. But it's harder to grapple with the enormity of what that means. Sometimes we just have to rest, unknowing, in the ineffable nature of God's love. The other morning, as Benny and I were driving to preschool, he was singing the butterfly song. After singing the chorus, "And I just thank you, Father, for making me me," he asked, "Why did God make me?" Sometimes words aren't enough to explain, and 3-year-olds aren't satisfied with cliches and metaphors and ambiguities. But when we got out of the car that morning, we saw a rainbow, even though it hadn't been raining. And while I wasn't able to unravel all the mysteries of the universe and our place in it that morning, I was able to point to the rainbow and say that God loves us and promises to take care of us. Now and in the life to come. We pray. Jesus, thank you for your sacrifice and for forgiving our sins so that we can be with you for eternity. Even when we don't have all the answers, let us be confident and secure in your love for us. Amen.
The Benediction from Hebrews chapter 13. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, may he equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.